This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And we're slated to be joined, and I think we will in just a moment, by Tyler Bridges, the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for The Advocate. And as many of you know, Tyler spent 2 years working at the Picayune. Then he went off to the Miami Herald, and he's been back in Louisiana doing his thing. He had a major profile in Sunday's Advocate regarding Steve Scalise, who is 55 years old now, but is positioned, if Republicans were to gain control of the House in 2 years, which often happens when the party does not have the presidency, they gain seats in the legislature, in the House and Senate. And if that happens, Scalise is just behind Kevin McCarthy, who ruffled the feathers of President Trump last week when McCarthy from California said that Trump caused the insurrection. And, of course, Steve Scalise has said no such thing. Steve Scalise has continued to challenge the election results. He voted that way, trying to negate the election. And he has been slavishly devoted to the president, with more than 98.2% of his votes backing everything Donald John Trump has stood for and presented to the Congress. 877-217-5757. We're joined now by Tyler Bridges, and good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Jim.
Your thoughts about this union between Steve Scalise and Donald Trump, and how it will affect the congressman moving forward?
Yeah, I looked at this in an article for The Advocate, and I think the first thing we need to understand is, the district that Steve Scalise represents, which is mostly suburban New Orleans, well, that was a district that Trump won overwhelmingly over Joe Biden in 2020, and same in 2016. He got Trump got 68% of Scalise's the vote in Scalise's district this last election. So clearly, Congressman Scalise's constituents have been behind the president, and the polls nationally are showing that there's been a bit of drop off of Republican support for the president since the ransacking of the Capitol by his followers, but not too much. And Steve Scalise also has a personal, I guess it's a friendship with the president. The president has really been his loudest cheerleader with the heroic recovery that Congressman Scalise made after the horrible shooting of 2017. And Congressman Scalise, if you think back to the days when he was in the Louisiana legislature, he was always a very conservative guy with his voting record. So I think it makes sense that he's continued to stick with the president so far, and the soon-to-be ex-president so far.
Well, Steve Scalise, when he was a state house member in 1998, now he was a state house member then, but he obviously had great ambition. He supported the impeachment of President William Jefferson Clinton. Now he has opposed the impeachment twice of Donald John Trump. And last time, 10 Republicans voted to impeach in the House, and 4 others sat out. So they lost 14 votes this time. And Scalise talked with Matt Doyle, our producer, yesterday, and here's what he said about why he opposed impeachment.
This latest impeachment attempt is mostly designed to further divide our country. I think most people recognize the Senate wouldn't even take it up until after President Trump has left office. And do they really want to spend the first few weeks of the Biden administration dealing with an impeachment of someone who's already gone? I think we really need to be focused on uniting the country, not continuing to pour gasoline on a fire that's burning right now that needs to be put out. We don't need to be continuing to poke fingers in the eyes of millions of people who want to move on, who are tired of constant impeachments and attacks on President Trump. He will not be in office by the time they even bring this up. So it's not about removing him from office. It's just about further dividing the country, and that's not where we need to be.
All right, that same Steve Scalise, as noted, he didn't vote for it. He was a House member in the Louisiana legislature, but he was for the impeachment of Clinton. Now he's against the impeachment of Trump. Is there a disconnect there, or is he very consistent in his views? What do you think, Tyler?
Well, he's consistent in his views as a Republican and who believe that Clinton was unfit for office and you know, strong supporter of Trump. I think some people would point out that the efforts to subvert the election, that some 60 legal rulings by Democrat judges, Republican judges, went against the notion that fraud led to Joe Biden's victory, and also that we have election officials of both parties in all 50 states who certified the election, and yet Representative Scalise was one of those House members who voted to overturn, to try to overturn an election that I think a lot of people are saying, well, wait a second, that wasn't exactly healing the nation.
Well, on January 10th, The Advocate, in its editorial page, the newspaper, Scalise betrays our democracy with vote to overturn election. And just from writing style, I think I can go on the line and say this one was written by Peter Kovacs, who was a very good reporter before he became editor of the paper and writes editorials. And Peter, who will be with us next week, is no liberal. He is a very good journalist, and but he's no liberal. But he wrote, and I think I'll ask him next week, but I feel comfortable saying Peter Kovacs wrote this. At a critical moment, Scalise had to choose between loyalty to the Constitution or loyalty to his own politics and ambitions. He made the wrong decision. Those are pretty strong words from The Advocate, which, of course, caters to the state of Louisiana, where Donald Trump won by about 400,000 votes, Tyler.
Yeah, and I guess I want to make it clear to your readers that the editorials that I actually don't know whether Peter wrote that editorial, because that's a separate part of the newspaper. I don't actually see the editorials online. I don't see them until, I guess, the public sees them. I have no advanced knowledge of what the paper's editorial line is, and it doesn't affect what I write. I guess I want to be judged on my own work. But clearly, Steve Scalise is the guy who's in the mainstream of conservative political thought. And all evidence is that his district was, too, and Scalise overwhelmingly won re-election. So he probably thinks, with a lot of evidence, that he's doing the right thing.
Let's go to Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on with Tyler Bridges. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the way forward is for Steve Scalise, other than being removed from office via Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, tried for treason, and then, as Donald Trump famously said, that we need to bring back old school remedies for treason.
All right. Well, Tyler, Steve Scalise, I can rest assured, will not be tried for treason, nor should he be, but this was a bad vote, according to many, because this was not an election that was even close. The voter fraud stuff. Even Bill Barr is quoted as saying it was BS to the president's face, and he didn't say BS. He said the full word. Tyler Scalise. He is, of course, a man of great ambition. He wants to be Speaker of the House, and I would say the odds are much greater that he will eventually be Speaker than will be tried for treason. Your thoughts about whether this will ultimately cause him any problems within the ranks of the Republican Party? You think that that'll be a problem moving down the line?
Yeah, and just a quick thought about your comment about the election. I know it in a close election is about, Jim. When I was at the Miami Herald in Florida in 2000, I covered the whole recount. That election in the state of Florida, which decided the presidential election in 2000, was decided by 535 votes. We didn't have anywhere near like that. And again, there was all these different legal cases that were brought by the president, and none of them succeeded. But clearly, Steve Scalise, as they say, is an ambitious guy. He wants to be Speaker of the House. I'll always note that when he was at LSU, he wasn't student body president. He was Speaker of the House within the student assembly there. And he is clearly within the vast majority of the thinking of the Republican members of Congress.
Well, he is a man who heroically came back from a gunshot wound, but he is a conservative, and he has proved that basically by being in favor of relaxed gun laws And some would say that if you take a bullet and you have that opinion, then you're entitled to that opinion, and I would be one of those. 877-217-5757, Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on with Tyler Bridges. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I think Scalise is representing his constituency. I mean, this is big oil, big chemical is how we make our money in Louisiana. And Biden has already announced he's going to shut down the Keystone pipeline. That's going to make, I mean, our gas prices are getting ready to shoot through the roof. And then, you know, he's announcing $15 minimum wage. That may not be a lot of money in like California or New England, but that's a lot of money for small business to have to pay their workers. I think Scalise is just looking out for our state, because this guy is going to crush our state with his executive orders.
Your thoughts. Thank you, Patrick. Your thoughts, Tyler?
I think Patrick does a good job there representing the conservative point of view, and then that's that same point of view that when Steve Scalise overwhelming reelection in November and got and won Donald Trump 68% of the vote in his district, and also 58% of the vote in Louisiana in 2020 as well.
Well, we're going to continue with Tyler Bridges into our final segment, and in his story, he notes that the ranking Republican, the top Republican in the U.S. House, Kevin McCarthy of California, called for censuring President Trump, a position that Scalise did not take. McCarthy refused to give credence to widespread conservative speculation that Antifa was involved in the attack. McCarthy said no evidence exists to show that, something Scalise also has not stated. And Scalise, to my knowledge, has not stated that the victor in the election was Joe Biden, fair and square. Let's talk more with Tyler Bridges. We'll be back after this short pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Your number as we move into the final stretch here, 877-217-5757. Tyler Bridges, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter with The Advocate, his front-page story in Sunday's Advocate to the very end about House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, the Republican from Jefferson Parish, and his close relationship to the President of the United States. The headline below the fold, Scalise's political standing appears unaffected as he continues his tight embrace of Trump. And before we go back to the phones, you note in your story, Tyler, that Scalise's office did not respond to two requests for an interview with him. He's usually a guy who is accessible to a degree. He is a busy man, as you can imagine, with his leadership position. But the newspaper of record in his home state is doing a front page story on him. You would think he would return a phone call and spend 5 or 10 minutes with you. He did not do that. Why not, in your judgment?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I several years ago, Politico magazine asked me to write a freelance piece after the whole story about was Steve Scalise the Dukester, after it came out that Scalise had spoken at a David Duke event years earlier, and I did not know Steve Scalise. He gave me all the time I needed. I investigated it. I'm a David Duke expert, and I saw no connection at all. And so Steve and I established. I call him Steve, actually. Established a connection, I thought, and he and I will text each other. And when I requested to talk to him with this story, his staff didn't even respond. Period. And I'm just guessing that they're unhappy with the editorials by the Advocate newspaper, the one that you read earlier. Again, I had no role in that, but I was disappointed that Representative Scalise didn't get back to me, and I was also disappointed that Representative Garrett Graves has refused to say in recent days why he voted the way he did on the impeachment. I called his office repeatedly, emailed them. I got no response at all. And, you know, of course, unfortunately, we learned a couple days ago that his father died. But I was making these requests earlier while Representative Graves was in Washington, and just sort of confounded why the many, many calls I made, he didn't feel it was important to get out the word one way or the other about his views on that, on the impeachment vote.
And it should be noted that these votes came hours after the mob raided the Capitol. Four people were killed, five dead now, and another dead by suicide. So it bars logic that they would actually believe that the election was stolen. But every Republican other than Bill Cassidy Cassidy has he's come across as a statesman in this, Tyler.
Well, yeah, and I noticed my newspaper has praised him as others have.
As it should.
I've also had it. Well, and I've had it pointed out that, you know, if he was like John Kennedy and his election was in 2 years, would he have taken that view? Remember, he just won re-election.
That
he won't
correct.
Go to the voters
that
for his
correct.
Senate seat for 6 more years.
Yeah, and Kennedy's actually up next year. Henry, at the Country Club. Henry, you're on with Tyler Bridges.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Tyler. I don't know why people are scared of Mr. Tyler. I've met him before. He's a nice fella. He doesn't hurt you. He's not going to bite or hit you or anything like that. And I appreciated Mr. Tyler doing the in-depth investigation into Scalise's speech over at that Euro group that y'all are talking about just now. I was wondering if Scalise has ever explained why he voted against the Martin Luther King holiday back as recent as 2004.
Who are you talking about?
Steve Scalise.
Okay.
On House Bill number 20 by Derek Shepard in 2004.
Well, he is a conservative, Tyler, and even though I think it was a stretch to say he was a Dukester, he's never said, to my knowledge, whether he voted for Duke, and Duke was a guy who got a lot of votes and carried Scalise's district, I believe, when he ran against Bennett Johnston, and he probably came close to carrying it when he ran against Edwin Edwards, but nonetheless, I don't know that Scalise has ever said he voted for Bennett Johnston and Edwin Edwards. Who did he vote for in 1990 and 91? That'd be an interesting question. But,
yeah, and when I was writing that long piece on him several years ago for Politico magazine, I don't remember whether I asked him that question. But moving things forward, the things that Henry said about Scalise's votes on Martin Luther King, yeah, he did take those votes. And again, you know, that was the conservative position, certainly at that time. It still may be among some conservatives, but I think Steve Scalise has a long record of statements and votes that put him as a very conservative lawmaker, and it has allowed him to rise to be the number two Republican in the House of Representatives and his chance to be Speaker, as you noted, one day.
He's a charming guy, no doubt about it. He's a charming guy, and you note that that charm has been evidenced by his astounding ability to raise money. Scalise for Congress raised $34.6 million during the 2019-20 election cycle, and his leadership PAC, Eye of the Tiger, raised an additional $2.8 million during that period. He has more than 100,000 donors nationwide. And like other Republican leaders, Tyler notes that Scalise spent most of the money raised by his congressional committee to the National Republican Congressional Committee. So he is doing everything he can to be the Speaker of the House, and people like him, including Nancy Pelosi, who, if you remember, when he was shot, she was moved and talked about her friendship. They are, of course, both Italian Roman Catholics, and they have that going as far as commonality, even though their politics are much different. And Scalise has always been a pretty nice guy. He's not one of those people who walks around with a negative aura, Tyler.
No, you're absolutely right. Whenever I see him, I've seen him in the Capitol in recent years. He always makes a point of coming over to say hello. He's very friendly. And as you said, not everybody's like that. I have to say that I think the training he got in the Louisiana legislature really, really helped prepare him for Washington, being able to work with people in close quarters, members of the opposite party, although that's much less so now. You know, back then he lived in a house within walking distance of the Capitol. There was two Democrats and two Republicans there. And I remember him telling me how he learned in the legislature, Louisiana, that you could have a strong disagreement with a colleague on one vote, but you might need them on the next vote, and you needed to not make those votes be too personal. And I think those are lessons that he's learned really well, and it has explained his rapid ascent in Washington.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Tyler. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Steve Scalise did say he was David Duke without the baggage. Given that much of Steve Scalise's campaign funds come from the fossil fuel industry, Bob Marshall has written 60% of Steve Scalise's district by the end of the century will be underwater. Louisiana could greatly benefit from solar and wind power, but Steve Scalise, knowing where his bread is buttered, won't do what's best for his district.
All right, that's a valid assessment, and he's not really a person who embraces ways to thwart climate change, and his district is in peril, no doubt, Tyler.
Yeah, no, and I think I recognize David's voice from previous conversations I had with a few years ago, but I think history could be very, very harsh down the road on Steve Scalise. As you mentioned, his district is threatened to be underwater, and Bob Marshall has, in writing columns first for the Times-Picayune, now for The Advocate, has been very, very clear in writing about the dangers that South Louisiana is facing going forward because of rising seas and global warming. And that does not seem to be much of a concern of Representative Scalise. And as David points out, there are potential business opportunities with solar, with wind power off the coast, windmills and things like that. But Representative Scalise does seem to be much more tied to the fossil fuel industry.
William in Opelousas, please be brief, William.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, Tyler. You know, Jim, if Steve was really genuine about worrying about the country being divided, he would tell the people he represents the truth.
All right. Thank you, William. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with Tyler.
Good morning. Since no one man is above the law, so the question is just how many people are above the law in the millionaires class. I understand that American Express is pulling their funding from Steve Scalise and the other Republicans that are traitors. Thanks.
Well, that traitors in your view, and just because they voted way that you or I may not like doesn't make them a traitor. And Tyler, you have noted President Trump carried these congressional districts represented by the Republicans in the state quite handsomely. He remains extremely popular here. Scalise is a Republican, so I don't think he wants to alienate his base, number one. And secondly, he wants to be Speaker of the House, and he's taken the approach that this is good for that endeavor. And he's also made a mark of distinction with him and Kevin McCarthy, and I wouldn't count him out.
Well, he's obviously a very able guy politically. As we both know, he's very likable. And he's clearly within the mainstream of conservative political thought in this country. And it's backed up by the votes he gets in his district.
All right. Briefly, Kobe, and very briefly, you're on. Kobe in Lafayette. We only have a few seconds, but you have the floor.
Thank you. How can the Republicans expect us to heal if they're not going to admit that Trump lost the election?
Okay, I can't understand you. I'm sorry. We'll have to save that for another day. But, Tyler, interesting times. Tomorrow's a day that I'm sure we'll all be following, and hopefully we'll get through without a major story beyond Joe Biden and Kamala Harris taking their respective oaths of office. And we'll be following it with you and be calling on you again soon. And congrats on your continuing exceptional reporting for The Advocate.